Hello and welcome to the Two Time Labs podcast. I'm Francis Waite. If this is your first time listening, welcome to my podcast where I interview thought leaders in the area of time-based productivity. Join me as we hunt for ideas drawn from the latest, newest research in time management and personal productivity. If you'd like a summary of some of these ideas, check out my book, Perfect Time-Based Productivity, available on the Amazon bookstore. In this episode, we welcome back Dr. Melanie Wilson. This is her first time back with us after we hosted her here on episode 39. And this time around, we're going to be discussing SchedPal. So what's SchedPal? SchedPal is a tool for optimizing your calendar or your schedule. We've both been using the program for about a year, and I invited her because I'm only a user and actually a member of the advisory board at this point, because she wrote a post about the program, which I read, got excited about, went and immediately downloaded the app and started using it. It's made a tremendous difference to my life, and as you'll find out from listening in to Melanie, to her life also. So tune in as we share some of what's happening in our lives as we use this game-changing piece of software. The first or one of the best of a new class of programs that we think are going to be revolutionizing the way people manage their time. So keep listening. Here's my conversation with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Hi, and welcome back to Two Time Labs podcast. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, we're going to have on a special guest today. Her name is Dr. Melanie Wilson. Mel, welcome to Two Time Labs podcast.
Francis, I am so excited to be back with you after a couple of years now.
It's disgraceful. It's my fault. I should have had you on much earlier. And I apologize so much. I'm just so in awe of your work that I'm like, oh my God, I have to save you for something special. So I guess I've saved you for a couple of years, an interview with you for something special. And today we're going to be talking about SchedPal. But before we get into it, can you share with our listening audience a little bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. My education is in clinical psychology. I started off doing research on the effect of laughter and sense of humor on pain perception, and then I moved into people's readiness to make changes and how that affected their response to taking anxiety medication. And then I left all of that behind after a few years of practicing. I was just really in a general Christian practice, and I left when I had my first son, and I just kept having to cancel my appointments because he was getting sick all the time. By the time I had my second son, I just had stopped doing counseling altogether, and then I took up this crazy thing called homeschooling, and it turned out to be just an absolute joy. I love it. It turns out that I'm not as much of a psychologist as I am a teacher. I love to teach. Yeah, I love it. So since that time, I did a lot of freelance writing, and then I moved into blogging. I've written a couple of books. I have written So You're Not Wonder Woman. It kind of talks about my struggle to get my act together in every way. Really beginning in graduate school, I mean, I was pretty much of a mess. I did not know what my problem was. And really until, Francis, until I read your book, The Perfect, I cannot think of your title now. What is it?
Perfect Time-Based Productivity.
Thank you. Perfect Time-Based Productivity. And I realized that I had been using my memory until I got to graduate school, when that didn't work at all. And I just thought there was something fundamentally flawed about me that just left me in chaos. But so that book is really about how I was able to kind of find my way out of that disaster. And then my most recent book I just released at the end of last year, and that is The Organized Homeschool Life, where I share weekly organizing challenges for homeschoolers just to take it 1 week at a time and organize all the areas of their life and not just trying to get organized for school in a couple of weeks in the summer, because that just doesn't work. So that's me, and I have 6 kids. I'm still homeschooling 5 of them. My oldest is in college and doing great, and that's where we really became acquainted, because I had written a year's worth of productivity experiments, personal experiments, that I was trying different things myself to see what would help me to get more done. And so you found those, and we started responding, and it's just been such a wonderful and really productive relationship that we have, just learning from one another.
I know, and we don't talk enough. You know, that's again my fault. We don't spend enough time actually in conversation. We send a lot of emails back and forth, and I just want our listeners to understand that when you did this experiment, your year long experiment, so Dr. Wilson decided to adapt or try one new technique per week for a year.
Right.
This is so they can understand the magnitude of what you took on. and to my mind, it meant reading a book per week and then using it the next week.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
The best on the ground, actual in use laboratory experience I have ever read or heard of in this space. There's nobody else even tries more than 2 or 3, and then they don't even document anything. They just talk about it in vague terms.
Yeah.
But to have someone actually do it rigorously and then document it is just unprecedented.
Well, I'm glad that you liked it. I know my readers were really interested to see what I was going to try the next week, for sure. They liked it.
What does she do next?
right.
Oh boy, and I think, you know, it stands out as a one of a kind. No one else has. Some other guy has tried something similar, but it wasn't as deep as yours. And yours stands out as one that everyone really should read if they're interested in getting a broad overview of lots of different techniques all in one place. And it's way different to have someone explain it in person who's done it than to have it abstracted and someone who sort of read the preface or read the back, the dust cover or written a blog on it because they woke up that morning and they read a tweet and they figured, I didn't know what it's all about. Anyway, your work stands out.
Well, that is such a sweet compliment. I appreciate it.
Kudos again. So I paid real special attention, as you know, when you wrote that blog on SkedPal.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what brought you to SkedPal.
Yeah, I was really active in the productivity community on Google+. I haven't been, honestly, as much lately at all. But for a while there, it was really the place to be to learn about, you know, new ideas, things that people were excited about. You know, that's where I learned about bullet journaling. That wasn't really the thing for me, but, you know, that's just as an example. You know, anything that was new and fresh in productivity, you could find it in Google+. And so I had seen a post about SkedPal, and I put it in my task list to save to look at later because it wasn't a priority for me. I mm-hmm. wasn't really looking for a new way of managing my time. But actually, something happened that really changed that for me, and that was you, Francis, wrote a guest post for me for psychowith6.com that has... And it was a post entitled, Why CEOs and College Students Manage Their Time the Same Way. And in it, you really extolled the benefits of scheduling rather than just using a task list. Actually putting what you're going to do when into a calendar of sorts. And I had definitely experimented with that during that year of weekly productivity experiments, and I really liked it. I had found a couple of different apps for that purpose that I liked. And so one day, as I was going through my task list and looking at things that I had said, oh yeah, maybe it would be nice to check these out, I came across that SkedPal link, and so I looked at it. I was very, very intrigued because it suggested to me that what I could do is basically be function as though I had a personal assistant.
You made that translate for yourself, right?
Yes, because I have worked, it was a short time, but I have had a position where I did have an assistant. And I remember my assistant was constantly telling me, reminding me, well, this is what you need to do now. Remember, you have this coming up and you need to do this. And I loved it. I loved having her tell me what I needed to be doing when. Mm-hmm. And I realized that using SkedPal was like having I could put all of my preferences and all of my projects and things that I needed to do into it, just like I would give them to an assistant, along with all of my appointments, my family needs and those kinds of things, my homeschooling hours, and that personal assistant would come back with an optimized schedule for me.
Optimized.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be just for me. And what really jumped out at me when I started to figure this out, that had not been part of the other two scheduling programs I had been trying. Timeful was one of them. And
okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the name of the other one, but it's kind of I'm forgetting at the moment. But the thing that set it apart, that you could create different in SkedPal that would, I realized that using time maps with SkedPal, that it would be like telling my assistant, hey, listen, don't schedule any really, you know, difficult, time-consuming, energy-draining appointments for me late in the day. I want you to give me all of my writing heavy projects early in the day because that's when I'm freshest. You know, don't give me any errands, obviously, late at night because I'm not going to run errands then when the stores are closed. So it was a way of communicating more to my scheduler than I was able to do with either of those other programs. It just made so much sense to me because those other programs were telling me, okay, go ahead and go shopping now, and it's 10 o'clock at night. Well, you know,
I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, because there was no way of telling that scheduler, that is crazy, I'm not going to do that. So that made so much sense to me, and I realized that as I got better and better about communicating with SkedPal about when I wanted to do certain tasks, that this was going to free up so much of my mental resources. I didn't have to any time, like if I got some unexpected free time, for example, because I had an appointment that got canceled, I didn't have to go, what should I do? You know, what is the best use of my time right now? Because that took me tons of time just trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing right now?
Right.
All I had to do, as you know, Francis, is hit a reschedule button. Just schedule me. And it would pull up what I needed to be doing in order to meet my commitment in time by the deadline. You know, rushing and doing it all at the very last second. And it was balanced too. You know, that's what was so amazing to me. It wasn't like it would say, oh, well, you have a big project due that's going to take you 10 hours. So we're going to schedule you 8 hours on that project today. It would say, you know, we're going to give you 2 hours on that today. And then we're going to have you do these little tasks that need to get done. And even some things that don't have deadlines coming up, but that you have said are a priority for you.
Right.
Put those in there too. And it's so it gave it, not only was it like this, what you needed to be doing, it was also like rolling a die and seeing what would come up.
Right.
And that kind of gamified it for me. which
really,
yes, and it was so fun. I was like, what is it going to tell me to do? Now
I'm taking notes here.
Okay, yeah. And you know, so that was huge. And just like a personal assistant, if
right.
something happens that you don't expect, which it almost always does, and that's the biggest complaint that I hear about scheduling, and it's the biggest complaint
right.
that I've had about scheduling.
Right.
I mean, how can you have a schedule? How can you make out a calendar when you have kids at home like I do, and they come running up to you, and you know there is an accident, and then you have to go and take somebody to get stitches, you know? and so then what are you supposed to do? Well, it was really a pain using other types of scheduling approaches, because then you just think, ah, you know, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to throw my hands up in the air and say, it just isn't working. I can't get anything done. But with SchedPal, what you do is you sit down and you click that magic reschedule button, and all of a sudden it takes that into account. It knows that you haven't gotten anything done that you said you were going to do.
It does.
It does. It
forgives you.
Right. It forgives you. There's no chastisement. It just says, okay, so now this is what's going to happen. This is how you're going to work it. Now, does it ever give you a message that you don't have time to get this done? Yes, it does. But then that allows me to be the executive and say, okay, these tasks really aren't that important. So let's push those back. We're going to give those a later deadline or a lower priority. And then let's see if I can fit it in. And usually with, you know, that kind of moving around, you can mm-hmm. get it to work.
I know it well. Did you discover all of this before you wrote the article in, was it January or February?
Yes.
You wrote the post?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So you got all
yes.
this so quickly.
Yes,
oh my Lord.
I did. But, I mean, it's become
amazing.
Even more apparent how powerful this is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before I read your article, so I had heard of SchedPal, right? And I visited the site at some point, late 2000, I guess this was 13,
mm-hmm.
14, 15, 14, sorry.
14.
And I dismissed it. I said, foolishness.
Right.
It would never work.
Yeah, right, right.
I don't know anything. I was like, please.
Uh-huh.
I closed down the site and then forgot about it. So when I read your post, I was like, it rang like this vague bell. I seem to remember something like this. And when I read your post, I was totally blown away. And I immediately, of course, ran to go download the program and started using it. And of course, I was blown away. I was so grateful that you had shed light on it, because you've translated your experience of using it into everyday language so fluently.
Mm, thank you.
It's what got me. It's getting me again right now, because your description of SchedPal as a personal assistant, it brings to mind the West Wing, that TV show where Jeb Bartlett, the president,
yes.
Martin Sheen, turns to his secretary and says, what's next?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I heard that Obama has, you know, like a squad of five people who optimize his schedule,
yeah.
you know, for months to come. And it's like five people full time
right.
are working on his schedule, which I can't imagine what it looks like. And I don't have a personal assistant, and I've never had one.
Right.
So the concept is just sort of, it's just a concept for me. I've never really had anyone be that good and be and have that one by my side ever.
Okay.
I've always done it by myself. So
yeah.
when I wrote my book, all I really could say was, it's really hard to manage a schedule like this on your own. You got to teach yourself a whole bunch of habits, practices, and rituals.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be annoying, but some people do it because they figured out a way for them to do it. It may not work for you, and you can't just try it for a day like some people have and say, oh, it doesn't work, and then quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that takes a long time to learn if you're going to do it manually.
Right.
So I wrote my book. I published it. I had a chapter on tools, and I complained that the time management tools don't take into account time demands, and they don't take into account the flow of time demands, and that they're missing the boat and they're weak. And then I read your post.
Mm.
And then I started using Scedpad. And somewhere along the line, I realized, oh, boy, my book isn't even 2 months old and it's stale.
No, it's not. Not at all.
I have to go rewrite the thing.
No, you don't.
No, I really do, because I have to rewrite the chapter on tools, obviously. But I have to go and include this whole new world of digital optimizers like Scedpad, Timeful, and others.
Sure.
Because, as you know, not only do I use it every day, but I got in contact with the owner of Scedpad. I told him about my book. We started talking, and today I'm on the advisory board. So I actually now have some skin in the game.
Yes.
I really want Scedpad to succeed, but you know, beyond the long-term pension plan, which is kind of what I told him, this is my pension, so we better make this work, okay? Beyond that, there's a daily experience of, and I hit that reschedule button about 3 or 4 times a day, depending on the day. So today is a weird one because I had to go to the airport and three hours disappeared in the middle of the day. So my day was split up and sort of, again, it's one of those days, right? But hitting the reschedule button, I forgot to put in the trip to the airport. Mistake. Uh-huh. Big mistake in Scedpad. You don't put something in.
Yes.
Then it thinks you have all
it
the free time.
It does. Isn't that funny?
It's as if, but then I know, you know, and as soon as we hang up, I can click the button. And it's as if everything up to this point didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm completely forgiven. It's forgotten everything. It puts everything back in order. And it does exactly what you did. And oh my God. So I'm writing about Scedpad, and I have to rewrite my book. It's going to be a second edition because this is changing everything. And in the future, what I kind of imagine is every calendar is going to have a button, what I call a big red button on it, a big red optimize button. And when you click that button, it's going to optimize your schedule. There's going to be one on Google, there's going to be one on Outlook, there's going to be one on your smartphone, on your every digital calendar is going to have a big red button on it.
Right.
And everyone is going to be free of the hassle that it is to reorganize your schedule when there's a disruption or an interruption of some kind.
Yes.
But that's been my journey since, where are we? This is like a year.
Then not to take advantage of the technology that we have. I mean, it can do these things for us. It can help us to choose the best time to do the things that we need to do. So why aren't we taking advantage of it?
There's technological reasons in part. Some people use calendars that Scedpad doesn't support. So there's nuts and bolts reasons. And there's just not getting the word out, right? People just don't know.
Right.
I read blogs now, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I would have really appreciated this blog a year ago before Scedpad came out, but now it's written as if Scedpad doesn't exist because the author doesn't know that this kind of tool exists and that you can have a time map time maps that take it right down to the next level. But tell me a little bit about how you use time maps, because you seem to have turned your, for me, as you were describing it, Scedpad sounded like a person.
Right. That is how I think of it. And
time maps sounded like your language, the language that you have a conversation with, you used to have a conversation with this person.
Yeah, well, I honestly don't talk to Scedpal, but I have been able to use time maps to help me put my most important, those quadrant 2 projects, if you will, using Stephen Covey's quadrants, those important
but not urgent
projects, which for me, it's a writing project that I have, mm-hmm. that given any opportunity, I will skip in order to attend to the urgent. The urgent and important, and sometimes the not important and urgent tasks. And so I have a time map that only puts that project, those tasks related to that project, that writing project, first thing in the morning when I know that I can have that undistracted time, rather.
Right.
To work on that project. And what is funny is that if I don't have enough tasks for that project in SchedPal, I will hit the schedule button or the reschedule button, and I will see that I have nothing planned in the morning. I'll be like, what's going on? And it's because I don't have enough tasks for that project.
We should explain time maps for the person who has no clue, because it really is a breakthrough concept.
It absolutely is.
I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything anywhere else. When I was writing the article that I published earlier this week, I did a lot of digging into the research, and there's almost no research on. I couldn't find any research on how do you optimize, how does an individual optimize his or her personal calendar?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that would be something that would be studied. Well, it's not. There's just. I don't even know what school to look in, because is it in the engineering school, management school, psychology? The fact is, it belongs to all of them, so it belongs to none of them. So no one has really studied this issue in any kind of, forget about using automation. That's completely off the charts, because there's no one looking at that. That doesn't even exist in the research right now. So I couldn't find anything. So the idea of a time map is something that's completely new. So could you explain it for a person who's hearing the term for the first time?
Yeah, sure. So a time map is basically like a separate little calendar that you use for certain types of tasks. So, for example, I have a time map related to my writing project that includes a block of time in the morning, a block of time in the afternoon. I have been also, and then I can go in and change it depending on the day if I want to, too. You know, like maybe even though that is definitely an important priority project for me, if I'm getting ready to go on vacation and I need to, you know, just put everything else aside so that I can get ready on this trip, for this trip, then I may change my time maps to reflect that. So I have a general task time map, just any old thing that I can do pretty much any time. And so that has a much broader range of times in my...
That's like a waking hours time map.
Right, yeah, or working hours,
A working hours time map.
Right, so that's one. And then I have an errands time map. I am not going to do errands late at night, as I mentioned before.
Right.
So there is an optimal time for me to do, and days as well, to run my errands. So I have that one. I have my homeschooling time map, because I homeschool specific hours every weekday. And if I have a specific task, though, that I need to do in addition to my regular teaching, then I will put that in my homeschooling time map. And so you can go on and on. And what you and I have discussed a little bit, Francis, is something that I did study for myself during that year of experiments, and that was called heat mapping. I mean, that's just like a fancy way of saying you need to determine what your energy levels are like throughout the day. Your productivity levels. So I had determined that through that experimentation, and that is why I am considering taking my writing time out of those evening hours, that particular time map, not including evening hours, because
right.
I'm just not, you know, I keep aspiring to do it, and it just isn't happening.
Right.
Yeah. So
I've had to sort of tell the truth, let's put it that way, about some of my time maps, because they were ridiculous.
Yes.
Ridiculously over optimistic.
Yes.
And I thought, oh yeah, I can write same kind of thing. I actually had the same one. I write in the evening sometimes.
Sure.
No, I don't. I write in the evenings never. And then once in a blue moon I write in
right.
the evening.
And that's really how I am too. And mm-hmm. so I've realized I'm much better served by doing my social media tasks for my blog in the evening, because it just doesn't require a lot of, you know, energy or mental space. I can just, you know, Facebook page management and, you know, those are the kinds of things that I can do in the evening. In my post about SchedPal, but SchedPal and its time maps are also what allowed me to take a real break on Sundays. I had and in the evenings as well. Mm-hmm. Be working right up until the time I go to bed. I'm not going to be able to get to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be spending adequate time with my family then. Mm-hmm. And that's protected time. And so how can you make that protected time? By leaving those particular hours or those particular days white on your schedule. You know, you don't have any time maps where you have alerts. You don't schedule them at all. You don't allow
right.
SchedPal to put anything in there.
So like a good PA, it won't. It'll treat that as if it's unavailable time.
Yes. And, you know,
right.
this is a good time to talk about the other really powerful aspect of time maps, which we haven't even tapped into. It's a little bit of a more advanced concept, but I love it. And here's what it is. You can set different colors in your time maps. So let's say, for example, let's go back to my writing project.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I have a deadline. So maybe I say I'm going to launch this new book project on this particular date. And so the hours that I'm always, always going to be willing to work are those early morning hours. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make those hours green. Okay. Then if, let's say, late afternoon when my energy starts to definitely go down, maybe mm-hmm. I will make that yellow. Those mm-hmm. will be yellow hours that I can work on mm-hmm. projects if they are coming due and I don't have a whole lot of other time to put them
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say those evening hours that we talked about, you know, on a regular Thursday night, which is when we're talking, I am not going to be writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if I have a deadline.
A deadline.
Yeah.
Right.
Fasting, I tell you what, I will tell SchedPal, if I have to write then, I will write then. So I'm going to make that red. Those mm-hmm. evening hours on those specific nights will be red for that particular time map.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a sort of an interplay between you and your imaginary assistant. So it sounds as if you're using SchedPal sort of as time maps as a way to communicate your detailed preferences to SchedPal. So by using the green, yellow and red, you're sort of saying here are the best times, the not so good times, and the emergency times.
That's exactly it.
And it's almost like giving very detailed instructions to a PA who I have about five time maps.
Okay.
A PA would have to be really, really on the ball to memorize all the information in those five time maps.
Right.
It's probably not possible, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much of a burden, which is maybe why Obama has five people.
Could be.
Because I suspect he has, they're doing all these computations for him. They're probably doing it by hand because there is no tools that are, unless they're using SketchUp. I don't think they've done it yet. I think we'd have heard about that.
Yeah.
But it's a, and just so that our listeners understand, these time maps are overlapping. So it's possible to have, and they all show Monday to Friday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each time map is a complete calendar of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you can you can absolutely have them overlay each other. So Monday morning could be a time for writing, and it could also be a time for reading, for example.
Right.
When you assign the task, you say, for example, you say, read one more chapter of the following book. You would assign that task to the reading time map and not to the writing time map. So it would schedule the task and it would block out the time, and then nothing else could actually be scheduled on that time in SketchUp. But SketchUp would retain your preferences. And when I started, so here's my confession, okay?
Okay.
When I started, I barely even used the time maps. I didn't even know they were. I thought that was some fancy doodah. It was important. Took a couple of months, a few months before, and in a conversation with the Saeed, the inventor or the owner of SketchUp, for him to say, you know, time maps are really what makes SketchUp. I was like, really?
That's great.
It's a confession. I felt so stupid. It was. Aww. I was like, oh my god, what am I doing all this time? I'm wasting my time. I've been, you know, doing all this nonsense, because finally I understood that my first time apps, of course, I think like anyone else, were more about wishful thinking than reality.
Oh, yes.
And then over time, I had to say, like I said, I had to tell the truth, and I started cutting them back and sharpening them up and saying, no, I'm not going to write in the evenings. Yes, I do. This activity, like reading, for example, the best time for me to read is on weekends, and I'm not going to read at any other time, really, because I'm so much on the go that reading doesn't fit into the work week. It fits into so tell the truth and just schedule off weekends.
Yes.
So this process has continued, in which I've begun to tell more of the truth and translate it into a time map on SketchUp. And then sort of just watch as SketchUp remembers.
Mm-hmm.
And then just puts together this schedule that looks like me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that is another thing that I absolutely love about SketchUp as a psychologist, is that it helps you learn about yourself. You know, it's not just telling the truth. It's sometimes that we don't even know.
Yes.
We are behaving in a certain way. And SketchUp helps us to realize that. It helps us to see it. And as you point out so well, in a non-judgmental way, you know, it's, you're never chewed out for not doing something, which is so great. You know, it's just like, okay, well, you know, this is kind of how I picture it. It just kind of says to you, you know, now I'm personifying again, but it kind of says, well, okay, you know, so you didn't work on that today. Well, then that means that you're not going to have time to finish it by that deadline. So what do you want to do about that? And and it helps you to make better choices. It helps you to, you know, refine priorities, but not in this completely panicked, confused way. Like
tired way.
Yeah. Right.
Because I found myself, looking back, I could see that I was in a rut in my scheduling, because when you try to manipulate a manual schedule, the overhead of rescheduling is just so heavy.
Yeah.
It's such a cognitive penalty.
Right.
You pay such a penalty every time you have to reschedule that it becomes sort of this, oh my God, awful chore that you just got to... So then you just shove everything into the future at some point and hope it works out when the actual event actually takes place.
Right.
And it's not optimal, you know it's not, but you just don't have the energy or the bandwidth or the time to do it properly.
Right.
You just kind of punt.
Mm-hmm.
Just not good. So Skedpal has taken away all of the punting.
It's yes.
Made me realize that what I was doing wasn't all that great. It was better than the opposite.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the opposite for a while, because you know there is the school of thought that you should have a sacred calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And David Allen and others are saying that whatever you put on your calendar, you should only be appointments yep. that you can't move.
Right.
That are typically involve other people.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else belongs on a list.
Right.
And you should, instead of trying to schedule everything, you should scan your lists, mm-hmm. which leads to a lot of scanning, right?
A lot of scanning.
You've got a lot of scanning because you've got to check that list every time. You really should check that list every time you finish an appointment to see what you're going to work on next, because things may have changed. So you spend a lot of time cycling back into your to-do list to see what you're going to do next. And the alternative to that, of course, is to have a mental calendar, because at some point you've got to decide what to do next. You either do it at the beginning of a time period or you do it in the moment.
Right.
And either of those, if you're doing it manually, is difficult. But what would you say to the person who says, no, you got to have a calendar that's only based on appointments and nothing else in it?
Right. Well, the first thing that I would say is I know why David Allen and others say, because I had tried years ago. And what mm-hmm. would happen is that I would mix my appointments and my true hard, you know, things that I had to be somewhere at a certain time with my tasks. Mm-hmm. And I just completely overdid my calendar, where I had myself, you know, doing something different every 15 minutes. It was so unrealistic. And so what I did was I just stopped looking at my calendar because mm-hmm. it was so overwhelming. And so then guess what happens? Then I miss the things that I actually do have to do and places mm-hmm. I do have to be. And so I know why they came up with that mm-hmm. concept that you can't mix the two. When I read Getting Things Done, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. But
right.
the problem was that his alternative of just having all these lists to scan wasn't any better. I stopped looking at all of my lists because they were just enormous, and it was mm-hmm. so draining and confusing and overwhelming that mm-hmm. I had the same result. And so I really believe also that thinking came out of a paper calendar age.
Right.
Where, you know, we didn't have a tool like Skedpal.
Right.
Now we do. So.
Right. Or yeah. even one of the electronic listing
yes.
programs like
yeah.
Todoist. Not the optimizers, but
right.
they're a step above the paper.
Right.
But they still have the same problem, because you still have to scan.
Yeah, you do. You have
30, yeah. 40 items.
And I will say that one thing that I do that still gives credence to what David Allen says is that I have a separate Skedpal calendar on my Google Calendar than I do for my other appointments. So, in other words, when I look at my Google Calendar, I can see the difference between doctor appointment at 9 a.m. and file homeschool papers at 10 a.m. You know, there's
oh yeah,
yeah. You mean
you have them
there,
right? Well, that's in the design of Skedpal. It's
yes.
I'll even confess to you, I have a third calendar.
Right. Yeah.
So I have another one. So I have the fixed calendar of fixed appointments, which is the one uh-huh. that pretty much David Allen says you should have. I have the Skedpal calendar, which is, like you said, the one with all of the flexible appointments that Skedpal manipulates.
Uh huh.
And then I have a third one called my buffer calendar.
Oh.
And the reason I have a buffer calendar is because there are some set times where I can do nothing else but one thing. And I realized that these one things happened at the same time each week, and I couldn't change them. I didn't change them ever. So it first started when I tried to use SchedPal to schedule my exercise.
Oh.
So I had an exercise time map. That was crazy. It had me swimming at the wrong times and running at the wrong times. And
yeah.
I was doing, because I do a bunch of sports. I have four different kinds of workouts.
Oh, wow.
Because I do triathlons, right?
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
So SchedPal was going crazy. All the sports were in the wrong slots. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, that's not working. So I took them all out of SchedPal, put them in this buffer calendar, because they're not really appointments.
Oh, I see.
But while I do them, I can't do anything else. So my workout calendar from week to week is exactly the same. Many of them I can't change for different social reasons. I do things with people, and they expect me to be there at that time. So I don't change that calendar at all.
Right.
So I created this calendar, and the first things in it were times that I work out, and plus some recovery time, so that I could tell the truth about here. I'm exercising for an hour, and I recover for another hour, because I'm not useful for another hour after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that in this buffer calendar. And then I also put in, so I'm in a situation now where I actually commute four or five times a week.
Okay.
And I haven't commuted for years, but I have a regular client that I travel to the office and from the office. And the drive is about a half an hour drive each way.
Okay.
And you know how it is, traffic can make it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get ready to go to the office. You don't just roll out in your pajamas into the, you know, you're not working from home. So, and when you come home, you have to decompress and... So I added my commuting times to this buffer time.
Yep.
And I also added in lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to work so well because SchedPal recognizes it as another calendar of fixed appointments. But this is my calendar of fixed appointments that never change.
Right.
Every week is exactly the same unless there's some weird occurrence.
Yeah.
I skip a workout or...
Yeah.
But 95% of it from week to week is exactly the same.
Okay.
So SchedPal honors those buffer times. It of course honors the appointments because those are the ones that are different from week to week. And it works around them.
Mm-hmm.
And it works so well in my case.
Now, how I handle those things is I just don't allow SchedPal to schedule anything during those times. So I have a morning routine. So I get up at, this is, you know, most of the time, okay? It's not every single day. I'm not perfect. I know it's a shocker. It's a shocker. But I'm not perfect. But my typical routine is I get up at 6. I work out from 6 to 6:30. So that time... I don't allow SchedPal to schedule anything because that's my exercise time. So I don't put it on Google Calendar at all. I just know that that's what I do. And there that includes 6 to 6:30 a.m. for our chore time when we do school.
Right.
When we're getting ready to, you know, we have to clean everything up before we can start doing school. And for my lunchtime, also, I'm not allowing SchedPal to schedule anything during lunchtime or dinner time. So that's how I handle it.
That's a permanent block.
Yeah,
because
you
wouldn't want to go in and move those around because SchedPal, you'd have to go into every time map and adjust all of them, which would be too much work.
It would.
Now,
I mean, I think there are multiple ways of handling it, but one of the things that you mentioned that I think is so important that managing your time this way will help you tremendously, and that is, let's say I have an appointment to take my son to the orthodontist, which it seems like is constant, and SchedPal is going to say, okay, well, you can be working on X project right up until the minute that he has his appointment, right?
No.
I have a teen driver who just terrifies me, and so when he's driving me to his appointment, you know, I need more time. I need more time. And I mean, I need
time. You're no good for a half an hour.
Right. I mean, and I need recovery time too. And, but yeah, we have to take into account driving time, which we don't have, you know, we don't normally do that. And so we think we can accomplish all these things that it's there's no way we can get them done. So how I handle that is I go in and put a separate – I don't want to schedule – so if my son's appointment is for 9:30 a.m., I don't want to go in and put that the appointment is starting at 9 because I will forget that, you know, that I did that.
And then show up early.
Yeah, I'll show up early. No, I don't want to do that. So I create a separate task called driving, and I put that right around his appointment. So then that blocks out that time.
Oh, as a separate task.
That's what I do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you have a lead-in task and a lead out or a close out task buffer around the task itself.
Yes.
Oh. Haven't tried that.
Interesting. It works for me.
Interesting. Drive time.
Yeah, drive time. That's exactly what I put it in as.
Interesting. I tend to lengthen the length of the task.
Okay.
So I put a time before and sometimes a time after.
Right.
To account for. But it's not as precise as what you do. It's more of a fudge than
anything.
There's
another way of doing it, which I have also used. So I might put in, so I could put, you know, Andy Ortho at 9:30, but I would start, you know, that would be the label for it, but I would start it at 9. And that would tell me, okay, it's actually 9:30 and not at 9. But since my reminders are based on the actual, you know,
activity.
Yeah, I don't like to do it that way.
Because then it would remind you of both activities.
Well, it would. Well, no, it would remind me too early.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's a one of the ongoing challenges I have is around reminders. Skedpile offers no reminders of its own, so you have to use something else. And if I don't have my Google Calendar open, I was using this desktop program that used to download your Google Calendar into the program, and you could turn off your browser and it would still work. Well, that stopped working. Apparently, Google abandoned it, and this guy picked it up, and he tried to maintain it, but he gave up after a while. And I haven't found a desktop program that's independent of the browser that will tell me when my reminders are.
Okay.
I have one for my smartphone, funnily enough, but nothing for the desktop. So my smartphone is what I use as my reminder device because the desktop doesn't have one. Weird. Hmm. But it's like a gap.
Well, I do get reminders about my SchedPal tasks through Google Calendar.
By keeping your calendar open?
Well, just through my phone.
Oh, yes, okay,
yeah,
on your phone,
just through
right,
my
yes.
phone. Yeah, I don't know. Right. On desktop, phone. I don't.
Oh, you're right. I like the visual reminder because I used to use Outlook, so I like those.
Okay.
I like those. And I have to turn off all the other reminders on my smartphone also so that I don't get these nonsense reminders. So-and-so sent you a comment on Facebook. Yeah. Oh, look, it's someone's birthday on LinkedIn. What? I don't care.
I know.
That was like a whole... It took me a few months. Well, to figure out how to turn off all the other reminders.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I think are still slipping through the cracks because some of them are obscure.
Yes.
I can't figure them out. But Melanie, guess what? We've been at this for longer than the intended 45 minutes.
Yes. So I'm going to hit reschedule for this.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Oh, it's been so great talking with you. How can people get access to your writing on productivity, your books, because you never know, there could be some homeschoolers listening in.
There could. And, you know, at some point, you never know, I might go back to writing more for the general population who wants to get more things done. But for right now, I am at PsychoWith6. It's the number 6.com. And if you look at my homepage on desktop, you can scroll down and see there is a link to, I think it just says Living Productively or something like that, and you can find all of the experiments that I did on one landing page where you can click on any of them and check them out.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll put the link in the show notes also so that people can get a hold of you. Okay. And I may also direct them to your one year of living productively, 1 week at a time, one technique at a time.
Oh, that needs to be my subtitle.
Should be a book, right?
It should. It's just going to have to wait.
I know, and you'll have to add on SkedPal, and you'll have to add on the new stuff by the time you get to it.
But absolutely.
It would make such an awesome book. Well, Melanie, Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Two Time Labs podcast. It's been great talking with you. We need to do more of this. I feel like we just scratched the surface, and I know the SkedPal users also are probably really interested to hear some of the other things that we've been doing that we didn't even get to touch on, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. It's been so much fun. I just enjoyed it tremendously. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
And thanks for coming on the show. And keep listening. There's some more coming up here on the Two Time Labs podcast.
Thanks for listening into this episode of the Two Time Labs podcast. A big thank you to Melanie for appearing again on our show. She's one of my favorite guests, as you could probably tell. If you're interested in hearing more about SkedPal, you can visit my website, perfect.mytimedesign.com. There you can find instructions on how to join my private beta group. It has its own forum and it's currently underway. This is at the beginning of 2016. If you want to skip all that, or if the private beta is closed, you can just download the program from skedpal.com. Take it for a spin for yourself. That's it for me. All the best. Until next time. Take care. Bye-bye.